Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is Wednesday, October 20th, and as those of you who are watching on YouTube can already tell, it is in fact just me this week. Cody will be back. It's nothing going on, just a little scheduling issue between us. So just going to have a quick episode, just me, can run through NFL Week 6, a couple of the first NBA games that we saw kick off last night. So let's get right into it. I had another London game this week, Dolphins at Jags. I picked the Jags in this one, as I picked a lot of underdogs this week. And the Dolphins, man, oh, they are bad. They are not good in the slightest. I mean, I feel like a lot of people, like myself, picked the Jags to win this game, kind of in the, well, they're not going to go 0-17 spot. So this is a place for them to win. I think there's another game later that is the opposite, where a lot of people were picking the Browns over the Cardinals as they're not going to go 17-0 spot. So this is the game they lose. But opposite end of the spectrum for the Jags here. So they get it done. An interesting thing out of Miami, rumors coming out that talks of a Deshaun Watson deal kicking up again. So that is something to keep an eye on, especially if you're a fantasy football player. I know I checked my leagues right away. I'm like, is he available? Do I have a bench spot? Especially I'm a big not don't draft a quarterback high guy. So if I can snap up a QB for cheap or for nothing that is going to produce, I'm all about that. Found a shocking amount of people actually holding on to them in their IR in leagues where he's eligible for the IR, but I think it's definitely worth a look, especially if your league does allow him to be put on the IR, and if he's just available in the free agent, why not just pick him up? You might have a top 10 quarterback on your hands within a week. I can't in any of the leagues I did, but I will say I definitely considered that. Speaking of fantasy, before we move on to the next games here, tough week. This is where you can start to separate yourself as a good fantasy manager this week. It is byezilla. This week, six teams on by. My teams are getting decimated. I'm a big Adam Thielen owner in a lot of leagues. Justin Jefferson in a league. I have Thielen and Jefferson in one of my leagues, so I'm feeling very bad about that one. I'm Dalvin Cook in another one. Steelers are off, so Najee Harris owners struggling in the running back slot. This week's, I kind of looked at my team and I thought, well, so many buys, this might just be a loss. That's a strategy. If you can't successfully spread your buys out from week to week, kind of stacking them all up and just kind of taking a loss for a week, it's kind of a valid strategy, but kind of everyone is going to have buy woes this week. So if it's deals here and there, if you kind of, depending on your playoff structure, this might be a must win week for you to make your playoffs. So this might be a week where you need to be a buyer, even if you have to overpay maybe just a little bit for a guy, or just get that guy who's going to produce for you week for week, but maybe doesn't have the explosive potential, just to get the good win this week. On the other end, I have a league where I am now 5-1. And in the 5 weeks that I won, I scored the most points in the entire league. And the week I lost, I scored the second most points. My team is loaded. It's a keeper league. I had really good keepers. I got to keep Derrick Henry and Josh Allen. So my team is stacked. This is a week where I believe that I can get more value this week because of people having issues in their buys. So I can be more of a buyer this week, trying to get elite talent and trading off my guys like an AJ Dillon or Jamal Williams who are on my team. They're maybe second tier running backs. Maybe getting a little bit more value for those guys who aren't always going to see my actual roster. If I can turn some of those pieces into a solid starter for me, or even an upgrade at a starting position, this is the week to do it. If you think your team is already very, very good and you're looking to make the step into elite. So that's kind of, then there's the teams where maybe you just don't have that kind of talent and you need to make your moves that just get your team into the playoffs to give yourself a chance. There's always a chance in fantasy if you can just make the playoffs. One other thing that kind of the buy starting, keep an eye on, go months in the future and look at your playoff week structure. I was shocked to find out last week that the first week of our playoffs in my keeper league that I'm talking about here, there's buys in our first week of the playoffs. It's kind of tough. It's weird this year because it's always, you don't really want to include that week 18 in your fantasy playoffs, especially for the championship, because your team could be elite the whole way and all of a sudden you make it to the championship and your best player is not playing because they're on a team that's already clinched their division. But on the other end now, for how many teams make our playoffs, there's not a lot of teams that have by that week 14, I believe it is. But the Colts do. So Jonathan Taylor owners are, that is something to keep a track of. Me, where I think my team's in a really good spot, I think I'm on a very good pace to get that bye week. So maybe Jonathan Taylor's a guy I can maybe go in to try to spin it to another owner. Hey, look, he's not going to be available the first week of the playoffs. It's kind of a cocky move because if you get him and then you don't get that bye, you're kind of down a running back spot in the playoffs, which is a terrible spot to be in. But it's a league-winning move, which I like, rather than just – it's if you can make it through, get that first-round bye, my team's stacked, and I'm very likely to win my entire league, which it's way better to make a move that'll polarize you to getting first or getting, like, fifth or sixth, rather than if your team's around fourth or fifth, moving up to, like, third or fourth. That doesn't usually do anything for you, depending on the pay structure of your league. So that's kind of our – oh, fantasy football advice. I think this is my favorite time of the season, maybe outside of draft season. It's trade time. Teams know what they are. There's not a whole lot of flukes going on. You know what players are. It's time to be looking at other people's trades, calling them up, messaging them. Just flex your GM skills. Use all the buzzwords and try to make those deals to get your team to where they need to be to contend. December and January. Let's move on with the week 6 recap here. We'll go Bengals at Lions. I picked the Lions in this one. I thought the Bengals were in a huge letdown spot over that heartbreaker against the Packers. No, the Lions stand tall as the last remaining winless team after the Jaguars win. And I believe they have the Rams next week, so those woes will likely continue. It's embarrassing how many times I've bet the Lions, to be honest. But Bengals, AFC North is ridiculous. Just that division is so many good teams. And I'm talking myself right back into the Steelers. That defense is just so good. And if Najee can play how he's playing, Ben might be able to just do enough to get into the playoffs. Let's go to Chiefs at Washington football team. Again, I picked a lot of underdogs. I like the Washington football team because I thought they'd be in it in the fourth quarter and have a chance to win it, and I just like the odds where they're at. They lost 31-13, but the game was closer than it appeared. They're only down – it was like 10-10 at the end of the third quarter. It was very – 13-10. It was very low scoring, and the Chiefs exploded in the fourth quarter to kind of make it look a little more lopsided than it was. Washington needs to show the defense that they're expected to have, or the Cowboys are just going to simply run away with that division. Vikings at Panthers. Vikings just played a ton of close games this year, and they win this one against the Panthers in OT. Not the Panthers defense we saw in the first 3 weeks. They have given up a lot of points recently. And with CMC still out, the Cinderella story may be ending very early for the Panthers, where everyone kind of liked them to make some noise in the playoffs, where I think I'm probably leaning no for the Panthers playoff chances at this point in the season. Texans at Colts. Colts just killed the Texans. Tyrod might be back next week for week 7, but even still, I don't know who they're beating outside of the Jags on their schedule. Rams took care of the Giants in New York. Yeah, I think you can kind of discard the Cardinals loss. That was bad. You can't just don't discard it for the Cardinals. The Cardinals looked very good in that game, and they are very good. If the next time they play, I think expect it to be a lot closer. The Rams are very much for real, and they show here by just handling a much worse Giants team here. Ravens at Chargers. This is tough for the Chargers. A lot of people got behind them after that Chiefs win. I was always kind of behind them. They were my dark horse. Bet them to win the Super Bowl. Bet them to win that division. I think preseason I said, really implored you guys to put money on the Chargers to win that division over the Chiefs. And that's still very much on the table, but the Ravens defense isn't good enough where your team should only put up 6 points against them. Like sometimes Lamar Jackson will just do Lamar Jackson things. And if you lose to the Ravens 31-34, that can just happen, but you can't lose them to them 6-34. You have to hope this is just an off week for them, but definitely something to be concerned about going forward. Packers at Bears. Packers won by 10, kind of a sloppy game. But Rodgers beats the Bears, as he always does, and he'll let you know about it. Quick thing on the Packers. Nothing screams to me more right now that it is Rodgers' final year in Green Bay. I think people were very much thinking that at the beginning of the year anyway, but the Packers only recently have become a team that even dabbles in free agency or trade talks at all. And this year, they've already added like 3 defensive pieces in season. And just today, Whitney Mercilus is joining the Packers, that ex-Texans pass rusher. They're clearly all in for win now. They look very good, but they're also very desperate to win this year. I think it's very much last dance vibes. I think this is the last year for Aaron Rodgers, and the actions of the team very much are reflecting that. Nonetheless, they get past the Bears, and they have quite the lead in that division, despite their blunder in week 1. Cardinals just handled the Browns. They look so good. They're still undefeated, the last team left in the league. I said that the Cardinals would dominate this game because of the difference under center. And, oh boy, does that seem like it was correct. Everyone knows I'm not shy to criticize Baker Mayfield. I don't think he's very good. Threw for 234 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. But that includes a 50-yard Hail Mary at the end of the half. So you take that away, and all of a sudden it's looking more like 170 for a touchdown and an interception on 30 pass attempts. And that's just atrocious. That's not enough to win you games. And the Browns agree. He got a little beat up in this game. And Case Keenum's starting the next game for the Browns. I'm not exactly sure the extent of Mayfield's injury. I'm not sure if he could play if they wanted to, or if this is a kind of step on the brakes, like let's be cautious with our young quarterback. But I think this is a year that Baker really needed to prove that he is a franchise quarterback. And I don't think he's done so far, and not being on the field isn't going to help that. Moving on to the Raiders-Broncos. Raiders get a good win over the Broncos. Me and Cody both picked them in this game, despite Gruden's absence after he stepped down from the team. Yeah, I think that was a great pick. We were both all over that one. Yeah, I think the Raiders can continue to make noise in their division if they keep just handling, beating the teams they should beat. I mean, obviously the Chiefs could turn it on at any moment, but that defense really, really, really worries me. And the Chargers, if they can get right after this Ravens game, I think at this point it should be the Chargers to lose, but the Raiders are kind of that bluff catcher. If the Chargers keep having weeks here and there, the Raiders might just stay pat and end up winning it at the end of the year, which I know Cody would love. Cowboys, Patriots. Cowboys won in overtime. This game made me sick. I had the Patriots in it. I love the Patriots in this one. And they kind of just threw it away at the end, quite literally, with that interception. This was a roller coaster of a game. I wish I would have watched more of it. I was watching on Red Zone, so I was getting updates pretty consistently for it. But, it was a very exciting game. And Monday night, we had probably the game of the week, Titans beating the Bills. Bills going for it on a fourth down right at the end of the game. I liked the play call. Josh Allen seemed to stumble a little bit at the end to not get the QB sneak. The Bills are going to have a weird resume at the end of the year where they just kill teams by like 40 points. And then they have a loss to the Titans who have beat the Jets, or lost to the Titans who have lost to the Jets. And they also have a loss to the Steelers in week one. It's kind of bizarre. But the Titans, you know, after beating the Bills and losing the Jets, might have even weirder resume at the end of the year. Those are all our games week seven. But for the first time, we have not just NFL scores to go over. We have NBA, just two NBA games last night. It was the tip-off. Bucks got their rings. The rings look sick. They kind of have this detachable portion, which comes with the chains. So you can, like, wear the top of the ring as a necklace, which I think looks really cool because whoever is going to wear that ring consistently, those things are huge. But really good win over the Nets from the Bucks. They were even short a couple guys. And with, Grayson Allen debuted for them. They just paid him 2 years, $20 million extension. He looked really, really good. Trying to pull up the box score from that one here. Yeah, Giannis doing Giannis things. Kevin Durant looked really good. The stat sheet will not show you, but James Harden really was not the number two that Brooklyn needs him to be to go forward. He just did not have good shooting numbers from the floor, and Middleton honestly just outperformed him. Like Giannis and Durant are going to do what they're going to do. It's very hard to stop either of them, but kind of saw it when they played in the playoffs last year. If it's that supporting cast, and especially if the Nets aren't going to get Kyrie this year, I don't see how the Nets are still as heavy favorites as they are to win both the finals and the East. I really like the Bucks. I think we'll go over some lines in a bit here, but I really think the Bucks are a really good bet. And then the Warriors actually showing out and beating the Lakers. Warriors are also a little bit higher than I expected them to be in odds-wise. I guess they showed why against the Lakers a little bit. It's so hard. Everyone loves Klay, but it's so hard to imagine what he's going to be. He hasn't played so long. He's just getting older at the same time. So I don't really like the Warriors. Like, here's the championship odds. Brooklyn at plus 250. That's absolutely crazy to me. That's so low. Lakers plus 400 and the Bucks plus 800. I love that Bucks bet. And the Warriors are right after at plus 900. I think the Bucks are at least twice as likely to win as the Warriors. Jazz plus 1500. I'm telling you right now, the Jazz are not going to win the finals. It's Jazz Clippers. I don't really see it at either of those teams. And then the next kind of tier is plus 1600 with 76ers and Suns. Suns apparently not going to pay DeAndre Ayton, so I don't really see them getting back. Kind of felt like the stars aligning for them. 76ers, it all depends on the Ben Simmons trade, obviously. apparently he was making a fuss at practice, so they suspended him for a game after kicking him out of practice. I'd love to see him just not participating in practice or just being a nuisance to everyone else, and they keep just suspending him for a game, one game at a time, until they finally trade him. And the other thing about Ben Simmons is I see a lot of people saying, like, oh, pouting and doing all this, it's not helping your trade value. It's not helping you get out of Philly anytime faster. And right now I'm like, they're clearly going to trade him. They're not going to – like, you're not going to play for them. And if you're not going to play for them, what motivation do you have to up your trade value? If anything, you want to tank your trade value, so whatever team you end up going to has to give up less for you. It's obviously, if you take it too low, they'll just not be able to trade you, and then you're stuck. But I don't think he really owes anything to the 76ers. This has not been amicable on either side. But Sixers, I just don't know how you bet that without knowing what that deal looks like. And the Nuggets are kind of plus 2,000 with the Heat at plus 2,200. And those are the last two teams I think I'd even consider betting on. Like, long shots, it'd be so hard. Like, the Hawks at plus 3,500, maybe. But outside, anything over plus 2,500, I think you'd have to have some serious surprises go on for that to even be possible. I want to see some MVP odds here. Here's some Eastern Conference odds. Bucks are even odds, plus 100. If you can get the Bucks at plus 350 to win the East, I mean, they beat the Nets. They owned the Nets in the regular season last year. They beat them in the playoffs in seven last year. And then they handled the game like game one this year. Like, the Nets, of course, have a lot of talent, but as far as the numbers say, the Bucks kind of own the Nets. Like, until the Nets can, you know, pull off consistently being the Bucks, I'm not going to believe that they can. And those are honestly the only two teams. I think the Bucks are the only team really to put money on, unless you feel strongly about the Heat at plus 900. But I definitely do not feel strongly about the Heat. I think they're quite overhyped, maybe not quite as much as the Warriors, but I just don't really get their odds. There's also odds to play in the play-in tournament, which is interesting. The Hornets and Knicks are even odds. Knicks, big fall off from the Knicks. I don't like that bet here. I don't think the Knicks are very good, but Tibbs makes his teams just play very hard in the regular season. They won't take games off, which I think will be enough to get him a sixth seed. So, I don't really like the Knicks to play in the play-in tournament, especially at only even odds. Sixers at plus 400, if you think that they don't get a lot for Simmons, or if they just can't, if it takes a long time for them to find a trade partner, don't remember, it doesn't take a, you don't have to look too far back to remember when the Sixers forgot how to win on the road a couple of years ago. Definitely possible for them to slip down to that 7-8 seed, not likely, but at plus 400, I kind of like that bet. Western Conference odds, Lakers plus 200. Golden State plus 450, Suns plus 700, Jazz plus 700, Clippers 750, Nuggets 900. I kind of like the Nuggets 900 here. I think the Nuggets are very, very good. We'll get to it. I kind of like Michael Porter Jr. as some most improved odds. If they can get Jamal Murray back, I think that team is going to be very good. And the Lakers have shown they can definitely be upset in the playoffs. LeBron is in an automatic bid to the conference championship anymore. Oh, let's see if I can find these MVP most, these award odds here. Oh, there's games tonight, so they might, there's games starting a bit, so it looks like they may be postponed for the moment. You can't bet them. at this exact moment. We'll pull those up next week, and that'll be better anyway. Me and Cody will both kind of give our picks for the, you know, your MVP or sixth man or most improved coach of the year type awards. So, yeah, so we'll both give you guys, we'll give you guys our picks for those next week. It's not like they're really going to change after a couple of games. It's a long season. A lot of people don't tend to care about the NBA until NFL season's done. I was very excited to get it for it to tip off, but I will admit I will start paying much more attention and maybe watch more than just Bucks games once NFL season's over. Because right now I'm going to watch Bucks games, or if there's a great series, like a great game, like a Warriors Lakers, then I'll watch something like that. But it will probably not be till after NFL season before I really see any like Rockets or Thunder games or something like that, unless they're playing the Bucks. But tonight, whole slate got Pacers Hornets, Bulls Pistons, Cavs Grizzlies, Rockets Timberwolves, 76ers Pelicans, Magic Spurs, Thunder Jazz, Nuggets Suns, Kings Trailblazers, Wizards Raptors, Celtics Knicks. And I'm not going to give any picks for those games right now. I'm just going to let you know what the system, I covered this back in like episode one, but I make most of my sports betting money betting on the NBA. So there's games where there's good teams playing bad teams, and the good teams will go down big around halftime-ish, and then you bet that team to come back or bet them against the spread, and you get big lines on good teams that you should normally never get because the NBA is like a game of runs. This was so profitable for me when the Warriors were the Warriors with KD, Steph, and Klay all in their primes. They would go down 20 to some, like, just any team they're playing. And then they could make that up in half a quarter. Like, they would make it up in 5-6 minutes. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, the Warriors were down 18 at halftime. I bet them to win the game plus 400. Or you can get them plus 15 points. Just looking for games tonight, Cavs beating the Grizzlies is the second biggest line. I really like it to be a good team against not a good team. You really can't get too cute with it. You can't be like, well, the Grizzlies are 7-point favorites. The Grizzlies are good, not great. So I don't really like that one. I think the only game where this is maybe possible tonight is Thunder at Jazz. Jazz are 13.5-point favorite here. If the Thunder end up on the Jazz double digits or so, I would then look to maybe bet on the Jazz at the live line at that point. I might start giving picks here and there for the NBA, but generally I think I might just outline these games to keep an eye on for the live line. But it really takes, you very much have to keep an eye out for it. You can't just passively bet it. You kind of really have to be keeping an update on these scores. But that's how I like to bet my NBA games. Either that or player props. Player props are very fun. Also, I love jock market for the NBA. We kind of talked about that for the NFL. Maybe we'll do another YouTube exclusive NBA jock market IPO phase when we have another one of these big NBA slates one of these nights. But thank you guys for listening. We'll be back at you for our week 7 NFL picks on Sunday. It usually releases, you know, early Sunday, late Saturday. Thank you for listening.